baby wobble, baby wobble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are live on a special edition. Had some things come up this week, so we moved the actually all three shows will be filming today, but moved Sports Club to a special edition Wednesday. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York, joined once again by Superman Cody Elias. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, always a pleasure to be back on the show. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, like I said, we had some things come up towards the end of the week. We just spare of the moment. This was, mid-morning we decided to move it to tonight, something like that?
Yeah, I'm glad we all could adjust. Well, when I say we all, I meant you and I could adjust to this, so I'm glad at least we could do it.
Yeah, I always hate it because when we change it up, you know, there's a good chance that not a lot of us are going to be able to be on. But at least we were able to jump on and do this because the other option was to not do the show, and that's just not a possibility.
I agree with you, and it's great we did it today because like we talked about pre-show and we talked about for a couple weeks. Tomorrow's my 30th birthday, but not only that, I have to fly to Los Angeles and Pasadena to be exact for a wedding. So I'm glad we were able to adjust and do it today. Even though I'm on a short time span with today, I'm so glad we were able to, you know, as they say, bang one out.
Right. Yeah, you're since we have hockey playing on in the background here, it's actually the Hurricane Sharks game from about 2 weeks ago. But, you know, you got a short shift today, but it's still an important one.
Completely agree. Speaking of Sharks, Sharks-Canes, that was a great game. I believe the Sharks lost in a shootout. I was at the game last night where the Sharks also lost in a shootout, but they scored a goal with, .1 left on the clock. I mean, they Hurdle scored, like, with no time. I was, like, walking towards the door, get ready to leave, and in the press box, and as soon as I'm getting to the door, everyone goes crazy. I'm like, did they really just tie the game? And then they go through overtime. So two penalties in overtime, which is really weird. And then they went to a shootout and they end up losing. The Sharks missed their first three, and then the Rangers end up scoring on their third attempt, and they get the win. Nice 2 points to the Rangers, who are not very good this year. And I guess, for me, a bad loss for the Sharks to a team that's not that good, as I just said.
Yeah, the Rangers, for people who aren't hockey fans, the Rangers are doing the NHL equivalent of trying to get a good draft pick next year.
Pretty much. They're pulling at Edmonton. Remember, Edmonton's had like 150 first-round draft picks the last 10 years, and that's kind of what the Rangers are doing. The Rangers still have a nice – they still have some players on their team, and, you know, Kreidler's still good. He had 2 goals last night, but they're nowhere near wanting to compete, especially in the division where you play against the Penguins and others.
Right. Yep, but first of all, happy early birthday, even though I will probably at the very least send you a text tomorrow as well.
So thank you for that.
And enjoy the wedding. What better way to celebrate than maybe they'll at least have an open bar or some really good maybe chicken and potatoes or something?
No, that's a negative. I believe we're going to dinner after. It's a small ceremony.
Okay.
But, I mean, a couple weeks ago I went to a wedding on a Thursday also, but it was up in Sonoma, so wine country. And it was a good time. You know, that was an open bar, and, you know, I had tied on maybe one too many. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm comfortable with it. I love drinking Cosmos. I think they are a fantastic cocktail, and I will drink them whenever I can when they're free. Them and Moscow Mules always go great together, and then whatever beer they have there. I'm not afraid to admit I like to drink Cosmos.
Hey, you drink for taste, and those taste really good.
I mean, the cranberry juice, the vodka, whatever you want to put in there. I mean, it's just
right.
Whatever you want to make, whatever they put in there, it's such a blend of awesomeness.
That is true. That is very true. And speaking of a blend of awesomeness, let's talk about the NFL a little bit. No, wait. You know what? Nope. Since you weren't on last week, I want to ask you a couple World Series questions because you're the baseball guy. You're the stat guy of us all. We'll start with your overall thoughts on the World Series, what you think about Boston winning, and then I have what I think is going to be a simple question for you after that.
So I was rooting for the Dodgers. I think I might have said this before. If not, I'll state it now. I will never root for Boston in anything besides the Celtics, depending on who they're playing, because I like Brad Stevens and Kyrie Irving and and Gordon Hayward, but that's not the point. The point is I was not rooting for Boston. I thought all season they were a flawed baseball team, and they won 108 games. Mm-hmm. I thought their bullpen was not that good. And, like, Brian Brazier was good, but he was pitching in Japan last year. And, you know, they really didn't have anybody to get the Kimbrel, but, I mean, they proved me wrong in the World Series. Nathan Eovaldi was awesome. David Price kind of shook that moniker of he can't get it done in the big game, where Clayton Kershaw, it's the complete opposite. He continues to prove that he can't pitch well in big games, and it's disappointing because with his legacy, you know, being such a great regular season pitcher, he has the 3 Cy Youngs, the MVP, the strikeouts, the wins. You know, he's 30 years old. He has a decision to make today where if he wants to opt out with the Dodgers – or tomorrow, sorry. But I'm congrats to the Red Sox. I mean, I thought if they were going to win the World Series, I didn't think they were going to win in 5 games. But they strung together an impressive couple wins there in L.A. And, you know, like I said, they proved me wrong with their bullpen. I thought Alex Cora did a nice job in his first year as a manager. I didn't know what to think coming from the analyst role with ESPN. Same with Aaron Boone, and they both went to the playoffs in their first year. So kudos to them. And I think you're going to start seeing that trend happen more and more in baseball, where these guys are getting hired from their analyst roles and from being like ESPN or MLB Network. And I don't want to say it's because the front offices are setting the lineups, because I know a lot of teams feel that way, or a lot of people feel that way about teams. And with Alex Cora, Dave Dombrowski is not a big analytics guy, at least from one. My experience is from watching them play in Detroit. They were more, they're going to spend the money and trade prospects away to build the team. And Alex Cora did a hell of a job in his first year, putting the right, you know, match, doing the right matchups, putting the lot together, the right lineup. And, you know, they won the World Series, 108 wins and a World Series title. If you're a kid who was born in the year 2000, you've known that the Red Sox are the more dominant team in the last 18 years over the Yankees. The Yankees only won 2 World Series since 2000. Three if you count 2000. No, it's 2 because the Diamondbacks won in 2001. So they won 2 World Series in the last 18 years, where the Red Sox won 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess my main question here is, to me, there's 2 reasons. I'll give you the first. Why did the Dodgers lose this series outside of the fact that they didn't score as many runs as the Red Sox?
I think Dave Roberts. I like Dave Roberts. The notion that people think he should get fired in LA is just laughable. I think that, you know, he's a smart manager and he's an analytics guy, and the Dodgers are an analytics/sabermetrics based organization. And I think it was a lot of overmanagement by him and bad bullpen management. I mean, there was I forget what game it was where Rich Hill started, and it might have been game 4 where they had it, or no, it was game 3 where they were winning, and then their bullpen gave up 8 or 9 runs. To end up losing the game. I thought he should have let Hill in. I know that you're going to go against with the matchups, and they're real big on, and I am too, with how many times through the order has the pitcher faced, you know, the hitters, and I think that was something that he took into account there, and I get it, but, you know, he just, that was a bad move, and then he kept throwing Madsen out there, and I don't mind Ryan Madsen. He's a nice pitcher, but there's so many better options in that bullpen, and then Kenley Jansen, I don't know what the hell happened to him. He just did not look good in the World Series, where he was kind of slow to start the season. Then he kind of dominated in the middle. And then in the World Series, he pulled an old Clayton Kershaw, and he just kind of choked. And then you saw that happen with Kershaw in his 2 starts. So wasn't good 2 years in a row losing for the Dodgers. I believe they're the first team since the Rangers in, what, 2010, 2011 to lose back-to-back World Series. It's unfortunate because, like I said, I wanted to see them win. I wanted to see Kershaw get that World Series title because, you know, living in the Bay Area, everyone talks about Madison Bumgarner and the great postseason run he put together in 2014 against the Royals. And I think Bumgarner's a great pitcher. But when it comes to talking about greatness, I think Kershaw is better than Bumgarner. But if you look at their postseason record, and Bumgarner owns them. And this is something that if Kershaw doesn't correct, it's just going to continue to taint his legacy. And that was just one of many factors, like I laid out, that I think why the Dodgers lost. I didn't think Manny Machado performed too well. The whole idea of him not liking the hustle, that's gonna hurt him in free agency coming up for a team like Philly, who is a blue collar town. If you're not gonna hustle down the line, the fans in Philadelphia are gonna boo you off the field, and I think that's gonna hurt him. And you know they're gonna get Corey Seager back next year, which is good, and that'll help the Dodgers next year, and they'll probably win their 7th straight NL West title, but. There's so many different things played into this. And, you know, Max Muncy was a great story for them. He used to play for the A's, and he had a nice season for them. He was an all-star. But I think one thing, too, that no one talked about is they left Ross Stripling off their World Series. Actually, he didn't pitch at all in the playoffs. The guy was an all-star. The guy pitched very well for the Dodgers as a starter slash reliever, and then he doesn't pitch at all in the playoffs. I didn't understand that, and that's one of the reasons why I thought Dave Roberts kind of overmanaged, where Alex Cora just, you know, he made him look silly, and it was just coming from being a rookie manager. I thought Alex Cora was the veteran manager, and Dave Roberts was the rookie manager in this World Series.
Yep, that's basically what I said. I said that what made the difference, and I don't remember if this was mid-series or not, but I said the whole difference in this series is that Alex Cora is managing to win the game, and Dave Roberts was trying to be the smartest guy in the room, and he was overthinking everything and outthinking himself. It's like, just do what brought you here. Make the right decision at the right time. Don't try to be the smartest guy in the room, because in baseball, that never works.
No, I completely agree, and we saw a backfire. I mean, the Dodgers had a pretty good bullpen all season, and
yeah.
it just – I don't know if it was just the, you know, bad matchups for them, or I don't know. I can't really pinpoint what it was. It's just the Red Sox just played so much better, and like I said, I thought that they were flawed, and they proved me wrong, and I pretty much had to eat crow on that. And then I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN released on Instagram, it was like their top 10, way too early top 10 power rankings for next year. And it was like the Astros, Dodgers, Yankees, and Red Sox. And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Astros fan, and I love what they're doing down there. But to have the Red Sox fourth heading into the season after they beat all three of those teams to win the World Series,
right?
It's a little bit asinine, in, you know, in my opinion, to have Boston ranked so low, because no team has repeated in the World Series in a while, and I think Boston has a good chance to do it because they're probably not going to lose anyone. David Price said he's not opting out, and which that translated to me that I'm not going to make more money if I go somewhere else. So, you know, kudos to them, and, you know, I can never root for Boston, but if you're a kid, again, that grew up after the year 2000, you know Boston, that's title town, and it's not New York, it's not L.A., Chicago, Pittsburgh, it's Boston.
Yeah, that's true. And I thought it was a good World Series. It's by far the most baseball I've watched all year, just because I didn't get a lot of chance to, but I made sure to catch at least half to two-thirds of every game. I saw all of Game 1 and 2. It was the best part of baseball this year. There was some other storylines that were fun. I liked a lot of things the A's did, the Giants, you know, a lot of people out your way. At least keep it entertaining. But, you know, the World Series was exactly what it needed to be. And that's why I wanted to get your take on it, because I knew you saw it pretty much the same way I did, is Dave Roberts just tried to be the smartest guy in the room instead of being the winning manager for the World Series.
I completely agree. And you know, one thing that, you know, this didn't happen on the field, but this is something I think we should give a major shout out to. And we did this on our station in the Bay Area, and everyone in the Bay Area hates this guy. But kudos to Joe Buck for what he did.
Yes.
Going from calling World Series games to calling NFL games on Sunday and Thursday night, it was just impressive. Because I believe if they would have played World Series Game 7 tonight, he would have called that game in Boston and then flew out here for for what we're calling the Tank Mobile. Between the Raiders and Niners tomorrow night, Levi's. The travel schedule, what he's done, I thought he did a fantastic job, and I love John Smoltz, even if he is anti-analytics. I think he's a fantastic analyst, and they hit a home run with those two guys. I think Buck's he's up there as one of the top four broadcasters for me, if you do, okay, top five.
Sure.
I think Al Michaels is still the best, and then you have some other guys. I'm a big Kenny Albert fan. I think Kenny Albert does a great job for baseball, for football. He's underrated when he calls Ranger games for hockey. I think he does a nice job. And then you have your Marv Alberts and your Kevin Harlins. So, you know, kudos to Joe Buck for what he did with the travel schedule. And I thought it was a very listenable broadcast, even if you don't like Joe Buck, which no one in the Bay Area really does. And he has the economy of words where it's just bets, left, home run, Red Sox.
Well, but he lets it breathe, and that's one thing I really like about it.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's a lot of nepotism because his dad was a legendary broadcaster. Joe works his ass off, and I like listening to him. And, you know, I thought the best tweet I saw all weekend was he should have called the World Series game, and then they should have had him dramatically fly in a helicopter. No, called the Rams game, the Rams-Packers game, and then dramatically put him in a helicopter and fly him to Dodger Stadium and drop him off. I thought that the pull like a Dion, where Dion did that. I thought that would have been pretty funny.
It would have been. And I know you're on a short shift, as we said, so I want to shift. And as we shift to our next big topic, I want to bring on the King AT Alien himself, Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing good, Jeremy. How you doing? Hey, Cody, how you doing?
Reggie, how are you, brother?
Hey, man, just trying to live the dream and keep the lights on.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean,
exactly. You know, we had to move the show back a little back a day, just like we were saying earlier in the show here. Had some stuff that kind of come up that we're going to make it nearly impossible to do it tomorrow night. So it's good that we can at least be on. Hate that Coach couldn't join us, but Reggie, it's great that you come on at this point. I was just about to jump into the Falcons coming off this bye week. Looks like Matt Bryant is going to test his quad or hamstring or whatever else is going on with his leg to see what's going on there. And I think he's trying to get back a little sooner than he wants because Tavecchio was fantastic last week.
Yeah, I was just about to say that is that, you know, given the success of kind of the replacement guy,
right.
It was it tends to want to bring you back a little bit faster than maybe you should be, much like Nick Foles and I think Carson Wentz, which is what I think is really going on in Philly right now. But nonetheless, yeah, I was impressed. I knew the kid could kick, but I mean, to come up with those clutch kicks like he did, even though it should not have had to come down to that, which is a whole other story. Yeah, I think he's definitely coming back a lot faster than he probably would if he felt like his job wasn't in jeopardy at this point.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get into their matchup here in a minute. We'll do the picks probably not long from now. But the big question that I want to ask both of you, because it's something that I've talked about with a diehard Falcons fans off and on throughout this week as I keep running into him. I know how this guy feels about it, and I'll kind of get into that in a second. Based off just career up to this point, as short as it has been, and based off the way he's currently playing, I'll start with you. What do you think the future of Vic Beasley in Atlanta actually is? Because his contract's coming up.
You said you were starting with me? I'm sorry.
I said Cody.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
Cody.
I like Vic Beasley. I think that he's a nice player. He's 26, I believe. He only has, what, one sack this year, but he's coming off 2 years ago where he had 15.5 when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. I really like him in a league where pass rushers are so important to have. I think the Falcons need to bring him back. I mean, for a defense that we've discussed before, their defense is just riddled with injuries, and they have a lot of guys out there that, you know, that people probably never heard of if you're not a local Falcons fan like Reggie. I mean, for someone like me, Unfortunately, I don't get to watch the Falcons play every weekend because they're not on. I have to watch the crappy Raiders and 49ers, which, you know, that's a story for another day. Thank God they play tomorrow on primetime TV. But I can't see the Falcons letting Vic Beasley go. I mean, I don't know how Reggie feels about this, but I feel like, you know, he's having a down year right now. And, you know, that whole Falcons defense is, but he's a guy I don't think you can let go. He's still young enough and still young enough, and I still think he can put it together, you know, the second half of the season, because the Falcons are surging, and to have him kind of break out will be a great boost for them going into the second half of the year for them coming off the bye.
All right, Reggie, what do you think?
I think the rest of this year is going to definitely dictate that. One of the things I think the Falcons are understanding is they have prematurely paid players too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Vis-a-vis Robert Alford and Desmond Trufant. I think it's really going to come down to how he plays the remaining of the year. He has not shown, except with the exception of the 1 year that Cody mentioned, the ability to actually dominate, right? And I've read somewhere where it says that he just doesn't have that one step, right? He doesn't have that first step, that whatever mm-hmm. Dwight Freeney or any of the great pass rushers had, right? So he needs someone on the other side. Tack McKinley is going to obviously probably help him out a lot. But it's time for Atlanta to find that dominating defensive end, and I don't think he's it. I think if they do bring him back, it's for depth.
Yeah.
But he certainly won't get the top one, you know, first-round draft pick re-up pay. He just hasn't shown the ability to be that dominating pass rusher.
Yeah, and Atlanta fans should consider themselves lucky, which is what I've told a few of them, in that if the Atlanta Falcons were ran like the Oakland Raiders are currently, that The Falcons would probably trade him for a ham sandwich to some team in Europe.
Yeah. I think, you know, the fact that he's still there, as are some other players, and why Atlanta didn't, you know, there's a lot of spin on online about why Atlanta didn't go after a ha-ha Clinton Dix, or even a Bruce Irving, for instance, who was also put out there on the block. And it's surely because, you know, Dan Quinn is ready to live or die by his philosophy, right? And his philosophy is, and part of the reason that he has that team, the era of that team, is that he expresses his belief in their ability, and he shows it through his action, right? And so he's going to go down with the ship, right? He believes that they can do it. Most fans, most of us don't believe all of them can do it. But, yeah, I like Big Beasley as a kid. He stayed out of trouble, but I just don't think he commands the big dollar. If he comes in asking for the big dollar, he's not going to get it, especially now that, you know, Grady Jarrett has obviously shown his worth by coming back and completely changing up the makeup of that front four. And then you've got Deion Jones, who's coming up now. They obviously got to do something at linebacker with Duke Riley. There's just too many pieces, right? So if he's willing to give us a discount, I think he stays. If he doesn't, I think they let him go.
And real quickly, quick answer, we'll go around. Reggie, I'll start with you. If he does command high dollars and the Falcons decide to either pass or they're just not going to pay that, what do you think the top team is that will eventually sign him?
I think Carolina Panthers.
Okay. Cody, what do you think?
I think Carolina, that's not a bad choice. I would love to see a team like, we're going to throw it out there because, the 49ers need a lot of help, but 49ers could use a guy like Vic Beasley because their pass rushers are awful. Solomon Thomas has not been good after being a first-round draft pick last year. Eric Armstead's not that good. I could see that them going after him because of the connection with Kyle Shanahan from when Shanahan was there. So I could see him. I'd like to see him be a 49er. I think he still has a lot left in the tank. You guys mentioned Grady Jarrett. He's having a nice year. He had a good game against the Giants before the bye. And then you have Pac McKinley, who's very good too. So I can see if they want to move on from him, I can clearly understand it. I think that he's still young enough where he could figure it out. But I'd love to see him here in the Bay Area, I guess, if I'm trying to be selfish.
Okay. I like both those answers. And Carolina was the second team I come up with. And in San Francisco, I think, was fourth or fifth. They were on the list. But, it has nothing to do with the coaching staff that's currently at this place because they're not going to be there much longer anyway. But we all know the Buccaneers are going to sign him.
Well, they need a lot, and I can see that happening. Their defense isn't very good, and you know now they're going back to Fitzmagic. Good God, poor Jameis. I mean, I would say poor Jameis, but it's not poor Jameis. He's just poor on the field.
No, he's done it to himself. I don't have any sympathy for him at all. He's done it to himself. He's an idiot.
I think you're right. I think he has all the talent in the world to be a great quarterback. And I think a change of scenery might help him because I think it might have been Jeremy. You're a big Pro Football Talk fan. I believe they threw out the tweet. It was like every other team. Like here's just a list of teams that the Buccaneers drafted that ended up winning Super Bowls elsewhere. One of them was like Trent Dilfer, Steve Young, and there was one Doug Williams. So there's three guys that they drafted and they like that won Super Bowls. I'm not saying Jameis is going to go somewhere and win a Super Bowl, but I think getting him out of Tampa and out of Dirk Cutter's guidance. Might actually help him for his career. And that team loves Fitzpatrick, and he led them back against the Bengals. They still didn't win, but I think that he needs a change of scenery because I still think that he's better than Mariota. And I go with Mariota. Mariota's not having a good year. He has three touchdowns on the year. So that debate is still never going to be settled who's better between those two quarterbacks. But a change of scenery going off the rails here because I know we're talking about where Vic Beasley's going to end up. But I definitely think that a change of scenery for Jameis might help. But I could see Vic fitting in well with Tampa because they could use, a lot on defense. So that would actually make sense too.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope he does stay here because, I like what he did at Clemson. Like you said, Reggie, he's a real good kid. He's a good fit. It's really the way that the league is going. You can have all your dominant guys you want, but there's so many rotations that you get for defensive front now. if he's okay being a rotational guy and not getting Khalil Mack like money or Aaron Donald like money because he's not worth that, then he's got a place on this team, and Dan Quinn will happily, you know, make sure he gets paid.
Absolutely. That's my belief. You get it right on the head.
But we might circle back around to the Falcons. We'll get in a couple. Let's go and do the picks because I know, Cody, you got to get out of here in a minute. So we'll get those out of the way. If we get time to hit some other stuff before you go, we will. The updated standings, basically, we all went like 2-2 last week. We somehow all split and just completely didn't do very well at all. Cody and Coach are currently tied at 20 wins apiece. Reggie has 17. I have 15. It's probably the closest I've been this late in the season in a long time, so mark that down. But, you know, Reggie, we'll start with Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Who do you got, and how do you see it playing out?
I was a believer in Baltimore up front, I think. And now I kind of feel like Pittsburgh is turning it on a little bit. I got Pittsburgh. I think they go down and pull that out. It's a divisional game. I think they pull it out.
All right, Cody, as somebody who grew up in the greater Pittsburgh metro area, who do you have in this game?
Well, the Ravens beat the Steelers already this year, and sorry, but it's not going to happen again. The Steelers are going to go down to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. They're going to win this game. And I'm tired of hearing the Steelers need Le'Veon Bell back. James Conner's having a great year. Let's pump the brakes on Le'Veon Bell talk. Steelers win this game, I think, easily, and they keep climbing that division. They're right there behind Cincinnati.
Well, then in the one time that I was pretty sure it could happen without having to get into Coach's pick.
It's funny because it's true.
I'm right there with you guys that even as dysfunctional and as everything as Pittsburgh is, it's a functional dysfunctional. It's an organized chaos. For some reason, they're able to put it all together. It's just – you know, you can go up 20 points on them and somehow they figure out a way to get back in it. And I used to believe in Baltimore, but the past couple weeks, I'm not sure what's happening up there right now.
Yep.
And it's a bad
Joe Flacco
time to yeah, that's probably the issue, but Lamar Jackson's not going to make it any better.
Well, and then Justin Tucker missing an extra point. That was last week. And yeah, that was a bad miss. But I mean, they just haven't played good lately. They haven't played well lately. They have no running game at all, so they're relying on Flacco to beat.
Well, they got Ty Montgomery now, and Joe, come on, man. Tucker hadn't missed a field goal since what, high school or something? I read.
Middle school.
Yeah, high
middle school.
School
was the last. Middle school was
right.
The last time he missed an extra point.
Come on, no, it's not on him. It's definitely Flacco is CSP is hearing footsteps. And the only reason that Lamar Jackson isn't doing well is because he's not getting the reps. And they know that. I mean, so not that Ty Montgomery is going to change up everything, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, Flacco knows his day is coming. And you know, hey, at some point they're going to have to play him. They're going to have to play Lamar Jackson or get rid of him. He's too great of a talent, and they spent too much on him as a first-rounder to keep him on the bench. And Flacco knows that.
I just can't believe the Packers traded Ty Montgomery for muffing. What he did was terrible. What, it was an awful football decision to trade him after that happened? I mean, come on. I'm not a fan of what's the running back's name? What's Williams' first name? I'm drawing a blank. But they have Aaron Jones, the backup running back. He's good, but they're starting running back. I'm not a fan of him. So Ty Montgomery's a local kid. He played at Stanford, so I've seen him play. He played baseball. But, you know, he had a great year a couple years ago at the Packers. I think trading him after something like that is just silly.
Well, I think
they
what
said
it came
that was
down
the
to,
second time they've done that before.
Yeah,
I believe
sorry,
that
I think
it,
was.
I think it was Bostic, when Bostic muffed the onside kick. I think that's who it was, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, something like that. But what I think it came down to, obviously the one person missing from this show could probably elaborate more into it, even if it would be off live radio. I think this is just finally the straw that broke the donkey's back with Ty Montgomery. I think he's just been a little more vocal than they wanted. He's kind of been going rogue on some different stuff, whether it was practice or whether it was decisions during the game. And I think Aaron Rodgers finally spoke up and went, hey, I'm tired of dealing with this guy. It's the one time probably McCarthy and Rodgers agree on something 100%. They're just like, hey, we're tired of dealing with this guy. Do something with him.
Well, I mean, you're benching him for some guy named William somebody and somebody Jones. I mean, of course. I mean, this is this guy's career. So they made him switch from receiver to running back, right? So he did that. And I mean, give him the opportunity or let him go. And I think that's just where he ended up, right? It's his career and his livelihood. I can't blame him. So hopefully he'll do better in Buffalo. If he goes down to Baltimore and balls out of control, then we'll know who the problem is, right? So we'll see.
Well, I think it's about now that Baltimore wishes they could find Ray Rice's number because they need something.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Or they could get Devontae Freeman.
It's out there. If he wasn't injured, I'm sure they would have tried.
Absolutely.
Let's just face it. The Packers' running backs are awful. Jamal Williams has 233 yards rushing this year. Aaron Jones has 274. Aaron Rodgers was the next leading rusher at 116 yards. He had more rushing yards than Ty Montgomery. So
and he's doing
it again,
with like half a leg.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's only done it on one, I think. I'm looking at it right now. 18 attempts. And where Montgomery's ran it 26 times, and you have Jones and Williams who've run a little more. They don't run the ball because they don't need to because they have Aaron Rodgers. But that team is just – I don't know what's going to – I don't think McCarthy makes it to the – I think he's done after the season. I think that his time up there is done. And I think they'll move on from him because I think Rodgers and him completely don't agree on anything. And when you disagree with Aaron Rodgers, you probably should get traded because Aaron Rodgers is the second-best quarterback in the NFL. So – I don't get why you wouldn't agree with what he wants to do.
Yeah, right. I think McCarthy is. Yeah, I don't know if he's either going to get fired right after the season or right towards the end. I think we're already seeing that the Packers are pretty much, lack of a better term, packing it up for this season. If you trade Clinton Dix to another NFC team, you're pretty much telling everybody, I don't think we're good enough to make it this year. The Bears are probably going to win our division. I think we're going to go ahead and start playing for next year.
Yeah, I was surprised at that trade. I figured, you know, I didn't see them as being a trade partner for anybody. Yeah, they definitely are tanking it at this point. So,
but, you know, speaking of those Packers anyway. – Speaking of those Packers, we'll go to the next game. That's the Green Bay Packers will face the New England Patriots. It's a, what is that, a Sunday night game or something like that? Cody,
yeah,
Sunday
night.
You.
At New England. The Brady-Rodgers matchup is going to be great to watch. I think that's a very compelling. And then, you know, what's going to happen with the Patriots with Josh Gordon? You know, is he going to just be suspended again for some of the game? I love the promos that they have out there with Michael Jordan. Talking about who's determine who's the greatest. I thought that was really well done. But it's the Patriots. I think the Patriots are on a roll right now. They're going to win the AFC East for the 47th year in a row. And, I mean, you know, I can't wait to watch it, but I think New England has too much for the Packers.
All right. Reggie?
Same with me. I think it's New England. I don't think they win the AFC, but I think they definitely win this game. Yeah, I agree with Cody. I like the promos they're doing, especially the one with Michael Jordan. That was really cool because I thought they were going into the whole LeBron Michael Jordan thing. But
right.
So I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, they're never out of it with Aaron Rodgers. He proved that with the Green Bay game, the Green Bay Chicago game, and every other game. He probably would have won it if Ty Montgomery wouldn't have fumbled the ball. They probably would have come back and run that game. So. You know, they're never out of it. New England didn't play that well against the Bills. But I still think that they itch it out here.
Yeah. For obvious reasons, we all know Coach went Packers on this one. And I was going to go Packers with him, but they traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, which means they only have, like, one defensive back. It's like, what is it, Sam Shields or it's somebody that's pretty good for him. But if
Reggie
Shields
Walker.
Is not, yeah, at this point. But
I believe it's Josh Jackson. You know, he's a rookie from Iowa.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably it. But they needed both those guys, one to be on Edelman, one to be on Josh Gordon. And if you only have one, that means the other one's going to just crush you in this. It's Patriots all day long. But let's move to – there's a chance we could sweep the next two. I didn't notice that. Let's move on to the L.A. Rams at the New Orleans Saints. That might be the game of the week by the time it's all done, as long as you do not like defense, because take the over in whatever this is. I don't care if it's 200 points scored. Take the over. Reggie, let's start with you. Who do you got in that one?
I'm going with the Rams on this one. Even though it's in New Orleans and it's going to be hyped and all of that, Aaron Donald is starting to play out of his mind again. The Rams going and picking up Dante Fowler. I think they're going to blitz Krieg, Drew Brees all game. I don't think they let it turn into that love fest that was the night he got the record for the most whatever it was, touchdowns or whatever. It's just a setup game to me. But anyway, I think the Rams dominate this game. I think they have to show the NFC that they mean business, and I think this is where they put everybody in the league on notice.
All right, Cody.
Fitting, the Falcons fan is bitter over Drew Brees breaking a record. I can't believe I'm shocked by this. I'm going with the Rams too. I mean, there ain't no Sean McVay's the best player caller in football. I love what they're doing. Jared Goff's having a nice year. Todd Gurley's the MVP. Wade Phillips adding Dante Fowler is going to make their defense even better. Aaron Donald completely has been wrecking shop the last couple weeks. Shout out Pittsburgh, great player there. It's the Rams, and I think you're right. Take the over. This is going to be a great game to watch. I want to see how Goff – and I want to see the Goff versus Brees matchup. And, you know, maybe there will be another Drew Brees record to be broken just to spite Reggie.
Yeah, whatever.
let me pull up this graphic real quick. Coach agreed with you guys before I drop my pick. I got it saved somewhere. Where is it? It is – here we go. The next thing he would technically break, he's still a good ways away, but it would be the touchdowns record. He's two behind Brady, and he would need 38 more to pass Peyton Manning overall. But that would be the next Drew Brees thing to watch there. But you guys all went Rams on it, and I guess I'm the one to ruin this when I'll be out on the island. Somehow, I just feel like the Saints are going to figure out how to get this done. This Rams defense, as good as it should be, has not been able to stop some people here lately. And for some reason, Drew Brees finds a way to put up 40 points a game. He's got a lot of weapons, but no matter who you stop, they seem to have another guy there. Kamara, Ingram, any of those guys. So I'm going to be the lone wolf on that one and go New Orleans. Last game, and I guess it could be the feature game. This one could actually be really good as well. Cody, we'll start with you. We got the Atlanta Falcons going up to the D.C. area to take on the Redskins. Who do you have?
I can't remember who I text you, but I hate to go against former – go ahead. What do I say?
Oh, you said Atlanta.
Yeah, I hate to go against former Niner great Alex Smith, but I'm going to go against former Niner great Alex Smith because – I think the Falcons are on a roll right now, and they're coming off the bye. I don't know if that's going to hurt the momentum they built going into the bye, but I think that they're playing too well on offense. They're clicking. Calvin Ridley's having a nice rookie year. Julio Jones not being able to get the end zone is still a very big head-scratcher to me, but, you know, whatever. They're winning games. I think the Falcons will be a little too much for this inability to throw the ball. Washington Redskins team with a running back that's back from the dead on the day of Halloween. I can mention that. I'm going with the Falcons.
All right. Coach also went Falcons, and we know where this may be going. But, Reggie, who do you have?
Yeah, definitely going Falcons. I'm actually flying up for the game on Sunday morning. So I'll try to do a on-site with some Redskins fans there, Jeremy, and get you an exclusive.
Hey.
But,
hey.
No, I – I think you know, for a few reasons that Cody mentioned, they have to have this. I mean, the NFC South is, or I shouldn't say the NFC South. The NFC is not completely out of their reach from a wild card perspective. I think,
right.
You know, obviously the Saints are looking very good, but they're not out of it, right? And Atlanta has a favorable schedule, the remaining pieces of this, with the exception of maybe New Orleans, and maybe Green Bay, depending upon what day you play. But nonetheless, I think, as Cody mentioned, they're starting to trend upwards. Deion Jones is on his way back. He actually practiced for the first time today, very lightly on the sideline, so he's about 2 weeks out. And I just think that this is just a game that they finally start to say, okay, we can get back to 500 and really start to turn the corner. I wouldn't put so much onus on the whole Julio's not having touchdowns. I think that's an overblown story. Who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, you got so many weapons to stop. And Julio wants to win, man. He doesn't care if he has one touchdown or 50. Either way, he's going to get his money next year, even if it's not from Atlanta. So it's not really affecting him as much. And I'm just glad he's not putting as much onus on it as the media is, because I think it's really a non-story. But I think Atlanta wins in a close one. The key to stop it is to all of this is obviously stopping AP, who's playing out of his mind right now, 33 years old. So kudos to him.
Well, when you're up that way, see if you can find former Redskin great, maybe Mark Rippon or something like that. See if he has a touchdown celebration dance you can learn.
Touche.
But, yeah, I'm going to ruin this party, too, and I'm going to tell you the Washington Redskins are, with or without Clinton Dix, we're going to win this anyway. For some reason, you know, I still haven't gotten back on the Atlanta wagon. They've showed me a lot more than they did earlier in the year, but I've said pretty much this entire season I believe the Redskins are the strongest team in their division, probably almost by default. But for some reason, I just feel like Alex Smith is going to be able to terrorize the secondary, and it's going to be a really good game, but they're going to end up winning with a late score in the fourth. I got the Redskins.
Alex Smith doesn't terrorize anybody's secondary. What are you talking about? Okay. All right. Sorry.
How dare you bad talk Alex Smith? You know how many playoff games he won for the 49ers? Well, not that
zero.
Many, but that's not the point. He won that like, very exciting Saints game in like 2011. That was a great playoff game. But
I was about to say, Cody, I was just unballing my hand to start counting, because I like Alex Smith, but when you start talking about playoff wins out in San Francisco, I was going to count on the one hand in front of me the ones I could remember.
Well, there hasn't been that many. And, you know, by the way, I'm going to be out the door here in a minute. I'm going to give you guys one more pick. The over-under and the Niners-Raiders fantastic Thursday night Tank Mobile special here at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California. The 46, the Niners are a three-point favorite over a team that still has veteran players on it, like Derek Carr and Martavis Bryant, Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook, where the Niners don't have anyone besides George Kittle. We don't know if C.J. Beathard's going to play. I'm going to tell you to take the over and the point spread, and this game's going to end up in a tie. Like, they're going to tie. That's how bad these teams are and how bad this game is. It's going to be a tie. It's going to be embarrassment for the National Football League that these two teams are playing on Thursday Night Football, the last edition of the Battle of the Bay. These two losers this year who can't figure it out. I don't get it. The Raiders are more of a head scratcher than the Niners for me, because the Raiders still have talent. I mean, yeah, you trade Mac. You trade. Kudos to Gruden for getting the first round pick for Amari Cooper.
You're
welcome. Sorry, Gerald. I don't know what the hell.
You're welcome.
I don't get this game. I mean, whatever. It's gonna be so crappy. I'm glad I'm probably not gonna watch it tomorrow. But look for a tie. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I hope there's a tie. There's like a 0.3% chance there's a tie.
Hey, before you head out, Cody.
It's funny because it's true.
I'm actually gonna be out there for the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm not sure if you're gonna be in the Bay Area, but if so, man, we've got to get up and have a cold beverage together.
Well, you
were out.
I completely agree. I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere. I only go. I only come home in the summer, so that's usually when that happens. I don't go to LA for Christmas, but yeah, I'll definitely be here. I mean, I live in San Jose. I live behind the Shark Tank, so I'm literally right in.
Oh, okay.
I'm really literally in downtown San Jose, and if you want to hit me up, let's go. You might have missed the conversation, but I was telling Jeremy I'm a big fan of Cosmos, so if you want to go out for a couple Cosmos, I mean, let's do it.
Hey, oh, man, you know, I'm my corporation. Hey, man, my corporation is there. I was in, you know, I work for Adobe, so I'm right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll definitely connect for sure.
All right, man. Yeah, let me know. But, unfortunately, I have to go because I'm going to go celebrate my birthday a little early, I think. So.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. The Big 3-0 is tomorrow. I was hoping we'd do it tomorrow. I was going to call in from the wedding I'm going to be at, but I'm glad we did it today. So it's good to talk to you guys, and hopefully we can do it again next week.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So. And, you know, obviously have fun at the wedding. You know, send our best to the bride and groom. But more importantly, you and your lady friend have a great time celebrating your birthday.
Thanks, guys. Jeremy, I'll talk to you soon. Reggie, let me know. You know, you have my number. Just text me. We'll figure it out.
All right, dude.
All right, later, guys.
All right, we'll see you later. Well, since it's me and you, Reggie, I was going to give you the chance a couple weeks ago. You've been on since then, but we didn't get a chance to get to it. Since you were the one who lost the one and only wager we had here, I was going to give you first dibs on calling somebody out next if you want to do that. You know, it doesn't have to be this week. It could be whenever. It doesn't even have to do with our picks even if there's any kind of thing. I was just going to give you the opportunity to win your bunny back, so to say.
No. Well, I'm going to reserve it. There's some compelling games coming up.
There's one in particular in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Right. So we'll definitely wait until that one to put a big wager on it in. And somebody's going to get a lot of chicken wings. That's all I'll have to say.
you know, that being said, have you ever collected from the other one? Wasn't it you that won?
Yes, it was. I did not. But
oh,
that's okay. We can incorporate it all into. Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. But, we'll put it all together.
Oh, yeah, we will, because we're all stand-up gentlemen. The problem is our schedules keep us far apart from each other all the time, so it's hard to collect on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But is there anywhere – now, I want to get into a couple of these things, even if we don't get to some of the other NFL stuff. I saw where the Cavaliers fired Tyronn Lue. I think this they're doing him a favor, whether they mean to do it or not, that he can get out of that awful, awful franchise now that LeBron's not there to hold it together. Do you see it any differently than that? I mean, I see it as LeBron was helping him out, and LeBron's like, hey, you're a good coach. You're going to be a good coach, so why don't you come, you know, coach the team that I play on? And then now that LeBron's gone, they're just moronic owner. Has no idea what he's doing, and they're right back in chaos.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think when LeBron left, it was the writing on the wall for him, right?
Yeah.
It should have been, at any rate. I think to your point, they did him a favor. I don't know that he ever gets picked up by anybody else because I still didn't see Tyronn Lue as a coach. You know, I think he got his shot because of LeBron. And maybe he endorses him to go somewhere else. But even though he was the figurehead, I think LeBron was still the coach of the Cavs. So take your money, take your buyout, go do something good with the money. I can't see him resurfacing anywhere else as a coach. I see him that way.
Yeah, nobody needs a coach right now anyway. So, I mean, it's just like – I mean,
right.
One dysfunctional team in Cleveland to the other one where the other moronic owner in Cleveland – even though I agree Hugh Jackson's probably not an ideal head coach, it just baffled me that, first of all, you would allow your GM and that head coach to draft Baker Mayfield, who's going to need a little bit of help on defining him as a football player, and you fire two out of the three offensive-minded like people that were helping him throughout all this, because you fire the offensive coach, Todd Haley, you fire Hugh Jackson, who, if nothing else, is just great at working with offenses and great at working with quarterbacks, and you put Greg Williams, Bounty Gate Greg Williams, the defensive-minded guy, in charge of Baker Mayfield's career. It's got to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I figured they would get rid of one or the other. Because I had to go back and read it because I saw that they'd gotten rid of Hugh Jackson, but I didn't recognize that they'd gotten rid of Todd Haley as well.
Yeah.
I think if I were GM, it would have been Hugh Jackson. He's known as a quarterback whisperer,
right?
And he's definitely a more progressive quarterbacks coach than Todd Haley, who I think is way, way too conservative in his approach offensively for somebody like Baker Mayfield. I'm actually stoked about it a little bit because I think that, you know, given the fact that Atlanta's got to go play them next week,
oh, yeah.
I think that this is perfect timing, right?
Well, but it could be a trap game.
Running the animals. It could be if you go up there too overconfident. But, you know, again, the zoo is running the animals right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be for the rest of the year. So, I'm still shocked that Baker Mayfield going number one, right? I mean, he just didn't seem like the fit there. I think he's a great guy. I think he's going to be a great quarterback given he gets the right tutelage. But you know what? It's funny because I see Baker Mayfield a lot like I see Mike Vick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vick under Dan Reeves would have been a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dan Reeves brought the restriction, the discipline, the structure. You will be the first to leave. You will be first to get here. You will be the last to leave, right? And then you bring in Jim Mora, who's just kind of like, oh, yeah, Mike, do whatever you want to do. And then this is what you get. So I'm worried that the same thing is going to happen to Baker. But we'll see. We'll see. I've seen some of the early candidates for his replacement, including even his coach, his old coach from Oklahoma.
So
I don't know.
God, what's that guy's name? Riley or something?
Yeah. But he says, quote unquote, I'm not interested, but – you know, money talks and everything else runs the marathon.
Lincoln Riley?
So we'll see.
Does that sound right? Lincoln Riley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard his
I don't know.
Press conference thing where he said it just as – he probably had one of the best quotes that I've heard. This is the absolute 100% way to say it is, I currently really like where I'm at, but never say never in this business. That's pretty much what he said.
Right.
It's one of those, Oklahoma is fantastic and – yeah.
Right, you make $300,000 where you're at a year, and we're going to pay you $3 million a year. Come on.
Actually, do you know how much he makes per year down in Oklahoma?
No, how much?
He makes $5 million a year.
Oh wow, yeah, that's going to be tough to beat. And they're going to up that in the off season to keep him there.
Oh yeah, he can either. I think this is honestly his option, and this is not just wishful thinking on my part. This he can either try to finagle a couple more million out of, you know, up to maybe $7 million or $6.5 million or something to stay at Oklahoma, or he can take $10 million a year off and to go to Jerry World, because I feel like if there is a move that Jerry's just going to go, here's my checkbook, just let me know how many zeros you put down.
I don't think he goes.
I don't know who's gonna. Yeah, I don't know who would want – the problem is it's just like being the next Browns head coach. If you're the next Browns head coach, do you want to have to listen to your idiot owner and answer to John Dorsey, who is pretty good at what he does? I'm not saying he's the best or anything. He did some pretty good things in his career. He's also done some pretty suspect things. Or in the case of Dallas, do you want to have to answer to Jerry Jones twice for everything down there and not have full control over – the roster or decisions and stuff like that. So, you know, if Lincoln Riley's smart, he'll either stay there or he'll take over an NFL franchise where he gets full control.
Yeah, there's no way as a head coach I would ever go to Jerry World. I mean,
there's no
way. It's you're destined for failure because at the end of the day, you're going to be controlled by the owner / GM
right.
/ coach / player. Right.
Well, that's why even Mike McCarthy or Tomlinson, either of those guys, even though they're, you know, Tomlinson's a lot like Jason Garrett, but he's got too much of his own opinion and likes to go rogue too much to where Jerry wouldn't even go with him.
Right. Agreed.
But let's see. We kind of got into a bunch of stuff there. We talked about Fitzmagic, that he tried to come back and save the day when Winston was clearly I think the most qualified thing Jameis Winston did on Sunday was I heard he threw some garlic and melted some butter. But I don't think that had anything to do with the game in particular. But I feel like it had more to do with the post game.
Listen, the elephant in the room is about mental health, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this in some closed circles. You know, the guy, and this isn't documented, guys, for our listeners out there. There's no one that has ever said this. But the street committee says that this guy has some bipolar issues, right? And that medication comes into play, and you have to cycle him on and off. And there's just a lot to that, which, you know, depending upon who you talk to, it's the reason that Lovie Smith got fired as the head coach,
mm-hmm.
because he was they wanted to take Mariota over Jameis Winston, regardless of the fact that Mariota may be less talented. He's more stable in the mental, right?
Right.
And Jimbo Fisher almost attested to it in some close circles, from what I understand. So Jameis has all the talent in the world, but he's dealing with a very real problem that, you know, I think really transcends the fact that, you know, he's not I don't think he's a degenerate, you know, by way of just because he wants to. I just think he needs the right help. And Dirk Cutter isn't going to do it because Dirk Cutter's out, right? And Mike Smith's been out. And they, you know, the Glazers aren't really the right football family to be running. They need to sell the Bucks is what they need to do, honestly. I think they're about as weak of an owner.
Soccer because, yeah, just stick to soccer.
Right.
They do pretty good with Man United. They make a lot of money there. They make some deep decisions. But, yeah, they need to get out of the football business.
They do. So I feel for Jameis because he does have the talent, but it was just that whole scenario that was masked by Jimbo Fisher in Florida State, and it just carried over into the pros now. But I still don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the answer. You know, he's a Band-Aid, but they're gonna have to go quarterback soon. You know, So it couldn't happen to a better franchise in my opinion because I'm in the NFC South, and so. I'm glad, man. One less problem the Falcons have to worry about is all good with me.
Well, I mean, you know, basically the summary short answer is you got a guy with some issues that's surrounded by a bunch of people who have no idea how to help him, and half of them don't even know he has the problem.
Absolutely. Or they don't want to acknowledge it because the contract is on the table, and you got to play the money, right? You have to play the money.
Yep. And it's sad because, like we always say here, this stops being about football and it starts being about a human being who needs help. You know, I talked about Chad Kelly last week or 2 weeks ago. It's the same thing there. It's no longer about being a star in the National Football League. It's about figuring out your own personal issues and your life away from football and getting that in order so that you can, you know, do whatever you're going to do in life. But let's see. Let's go through some of these that are left. I did want to give a shout out to Klay Thompson for hitting 14 3-pointers in a game. He actually did it in 3 quarters. He didn't play much of the fourth. He broke Steph Curry's record.
Yeah, 26
for the
minutes.
Yeah,
26 minutes.
As good as he is, he's one of the best pure shooters in the game by far. I have him in the top two, top three at all times. I'm just tired of these Bob Uecker-like stats, and it's like in Major League when Bob Uecker would come out with, up steps Pedro Serrano. Serrano is hitting .460 in days that start with T, end in Y, and on days and he's being thrown at by a lefty whose name has 4 letters in it. You know, we try to come up with a stat to match whoever we're trying to say is good, but. Klay hitting 14 threes in like 20-something minutes, like you said, is fantastic. But it's just where the league is right now. It's all about the sniper shot. It's not so much as battling the trenches anymore.
No, and it hasn't been that for some time. Actually, it was that because we went through this whole era where there were just the dunkers, right? The dunk fest.
Yep.
Right? And these guys couldn't shoot. And so it's actually invigorating to start to see guys that can actually shoot the ball. To Klay Thompson, I don't think – you know what's scary in my mind about Klay Thompson is that we still haven't seen his best. And I don't think his best is going to show up until he leaves Golden State. I think he's got too many people that he has to play second fiddle to, and he's going to be one of those guys that somebody's going to steal him or trade for him or whatever away from Golden State, and he's going to go and he's going to be – it's almost like James Harden, right, when he was at OKC. Nobody knew he was that guy until he went to Houston. And I think that Klay Thompson is the same guy, right? We've got a guy down here, man, that looks a lot – it's going to be scary. I mean, give him some time, but the confidence of – we've got a guy shooting from half court. Trae Young.
Yep.
Dude.
You know, I was going to say, there's a particular – I was going to say, I'd love to see Klay Thompson paired up with Trae Young. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Although, I think we all know the pairing everybody wants to see if Klay leaves Golden State, and that's for him to travel right up the road a few minutes. But I don't know. I agree with you that I think he wants to be the standout. He wants to be one of the top two stars, not the third or fourth best guy on the team.
Well, if he goes to L.A., he definitely would be the next guy behind LeBron. That's for sure.
Even at least for now,
and some of those other guys. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Golden State, I don't think they can throw enough money at him to keep him there. I just think he wants better. You know, I agree.
Well, they're going to lose Durant. They're probably going to lose Klay Thompson. It's about time that band broke up anyway. It's time for the next dynasty phase, whatever they're going to get into. But, That'll make our NBA fans happy that we talked some NBA for a minute. I promise you we'll talk more in the next couple weeks. But when football season's going on, most of the time we do our best to get as much football in as we can. I don't get a chance to see as many games as I'd like to.
Right.
I did think it interesting that we talked about the Montgomery thing where Aaron Rodgers – didn't get the chance to do one of his miraculous comebacks or something like that. I think the Rams really escaped with that one there. But I think the fact that as good as Minnesota is proving that they are, that the Saints were able to just really stay on top of them the whole time, just always stay a couple steps ahead of them. As much as, you know, you wanted Minnesota to do you guys a solid as far as being a Falcons fan, the Saints and the Panthers are starting to really get things rolling right now.
Yeah, and I think even with both teams, man, to be honest with you, it's that things are rolling their way, right? They get that that one little thing that helps them. I was explaining to another guy that I was talking football with. He's a Redskins fan, and he was actually the guy that brought it up and said, listen, man, you know, you guys lost four games. Atlanta's lost four games. Three of those games were on the last play of the game. So it's not like, you know, you guys could very easily be 6-1, right? But it's just the way the ball swings. I think that's happening with Atlanta. As far as Minnesota, I'm not impressed, man. I think they can be beat. I think they can be had. I think, you know, their defense, we thought they were going to be kind of this, you know, lights out, stomp everyone out defense, and they haven't been that. They've had some injuries, of course. And Kirk Cousins has made some very, very suspect plays, right? So it's going to be interesting to see as we start to get towards the back half of the season what happens with Minnesota. But I'm not convinced that the Rams just, you know, Or I'm not convinced that Minnesota is going to run away with it. I think they're going to open the door for Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood, to come back and possibly take that division.
You know, I didn't write this
down.
Or
maybe Chicago.
Yeah, I think Chicago is probably going to take that division. But I didn't write this down, but this is something that I have talked about multiple times, even today. Do you know who got NFC Offensive Player of the Week?
Oh, man, I saw it. I'll let you remind me, but I saw it.
It is Mr. Adrian All-Day Peterson.
Yeah, that was who I saw. Yep.
He, I don't know if you even caught the highlights. I was able to catch some of that. He had some pretty good runs.
Yep, I watched the game.
He still got his legs under him, but when he broke a couple tackles and ran away from all those defenders, I went, who is that guy? Because we haven't seen that guy in 3 or 4 years.
Dude, and he's 33 years old. He's the one guy that I'm afraid of on Sunday, right? If we don't, and I know Atlanta did a great job on, a better job on Saquon Barkley than I ever thought that their defense would. I thought Saquon Barkley would have a field day. They're going to have to, if they mimic the same performance and stop all day, then I think they win this game. This is why I think they win that game. They have to focus on stopping him. But he looks great, man. At 33, he looks better than most other backs out there in the league right now. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Probably the only people that are in better physical shape as far as, you know, got his shirt off walking around or something, as far as just physically menacing, probably Gurley and, I don't know, Barkley doesn't work out that much. He works out a good bit.
Gurley.
I mean,
you had it
Gurley,
right, Gurley.
Pretty much Gurley. I mean, and beyond that, no, and here's where I would disagree about what you're saying there. If you do stop Adrian Peterson the way you did Saquon Barkley, see, when that's the easiest way to stop the Giants offense, because then they have to rely on Eli Manning, who is pretty much showing us every day that it's just not there anymore. I don't think he has a neck issue like his brother did. I think just the skills are just you know, pulling the Thelma and Louise, they're going off the cliff. But Alex Smith can still play in this league, and he can still spread the ball around. So you take his running game away, it'll make it a little more difficult, but he can still do things that Eli Manning wishes he could do.
Right. I agree.
And that's why I think it'll be a little bit better game than that, because relying on Eli Manning as opposed to relying on Alex Smith, it's two different things to me.
Yeah, I told somebody, I told my buddy who's a – Redskins fans, you know, Alex isn't going to lose the game. Now, he's not going to put the team on his back and win the game, but he's not going to lose it for you. So.
Right. And that's always been one of his strengths, is he's one of those, you go, hey, I need you to make a couple throws, and I need you to not turn the ball over. And that's Alex Smith all day long.
Right.
But speaking of another quarterback and the fact that now that he's healthy, we see what we were missing. It seems like the real Deshaun Watson has found his way back. He looks like he's close to 100%. And I mean, what they traded for a receiver. They traded for somebody.
Bebe.
Yeah.
Demaryius,
they got Bebe Thomas.
Bebe.
Wow. I mean, yeah, they lose Will Fuller, but you went from, you went from B-minus Will Fuller to potential A-minus Bebe Thomas. So,
absolutely.
And he's the same style. He don't even have to learn the playbook. You just look and go, just do go routes till you get tired, and then we'll let you take a few plays off and keep doing go routes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was one of the best trade pickups.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, they just gave him more. The only other thing they could have potentially done was go get, you know, a premier running back, but even still, with that running game, with their passing game, they're good.
Right. Well,
and it was
going to
take him a
makes
time,
up part of that run. So,
he does. He does. He supplements that. Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of how, you know, without having to, you know, automatically go back to the Panthers. It's why the Panthers can make everything work the way it is now. Except for the fact that Christian McCaffrey is not a power back, because Cam can pick up the tough yards that way.
Well, yeah, and then Christian helps out with the pass game that they don't really have, because he can actually go out and get the pass plays, right?
Right.
Yeah, that guy is phenomenal, too. I really like Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. Seems like a real good guy. I was a fan of his dad, so I knew he'd be a pretty good guy.
Yep, I've heard his personality matches.
Yeah. The Eagles won a pretty important game because they both these teams needed the win, but the Jaguars basically lost in their second city, otherwise known as London. At least this time, we were pretty sure that there was no coaches that were going to get fired by losing this game. But you look at the Jags, I said last week or 2 weeks ago, or I don't know, at this point, I'm going to keep saying it every week. The Jaguars are done. I don't know what's going on with the defense because that has nothing to do with Blake Bortles. And it seems like Bortles is hurt now. They're probably going to sign a couple different quarterbacks and try to do something differently while he's apparently dinged up. I don't know what he did in London. It wasn't quite what his four teammates did that almost cost them their game time. But the Jaguars, until they move on from Blake Bortles, should just enjoy being a 7-9 franchise.
Yeah, and I'm a little surprised with Tom Coughlin running the front office. I mean, knowing what he's come from with Eli, I would have thought that he would have recognized, hey, Blake Bortles is not that guy. I mean, he's not been that guy since he's been in the league. They should have made a play for a Nick Foles, right, or someone along those calibers, and they didn't. And the defense gets tired. Yeah, no, definitely not him. I wish we didn't have him, but to be honest. But, no, I mean, the defense is playing lights out up front, and then you start losing games, and it's not because you're not holding off, you know, or you're not stopping the offense of the other team. It's because your team can't score. That gets depressing after a while, right? So,
right.
And coupled with what has been noted is that there isn't any – any discipline or a leader on the actual defense or on the team, for that matter. So I think the trade of Dante was probably a shot. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but apparently they're just not ready.
Apparently we do have a listener on the show because Packers GM Brian Gutekunst has just made a statement saying he insists that Green Bay is not surrendering its season after trading away former Pro Bowl safety HaHa Clinton Dix and Ty Montgomery. Brian, we appreciate you tuning in and appreciate you having to make that public statement because that means you're listening. But I know you had to make that statement, but you're still wrong. But that's fine. But I'm glad to know that Brian is listening to it. And like I said, shout out. And if he ever wants to be on the show, he is welcome to. And I promise to play nice. But I did think that was funny that just came across.
Yes, it did. That was funny. I'm sorry, man. I'm doing trick or treaters at the same time, so I'm having to go.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, then my next question will be that. What kind of treats are there at the Walker House tonight?
We've got a whole host of things. We've got Skittles and Starburst, and dude, we've got 500 pieces of candy, and we're not even through the first bag.
Hey, that's a good thing because that means there'll be a lot left over for a tailgate.
Yeah, we got to start giving out bigger handfuls of candy.
Look, yeah, that too.
You're gonna have to start just like, yeah, because we're in the back of the neighborhood, so when the kids don't come back here because. It's scary. So, yeah, somebody else is pulling up. So, yeah, man, so this is a good time for us, man. This is the only time we really get kids. My kids are older, so I don't get to interact with little kids as much anymore.
Yeah, I definitely know the feeling. That's why I enjoy all the time I get with my little nephews and niece and such like that. It's always fun to see them enjoy the things that I did as a kid.
Absolutely.
But, I'll let you get back to trick-or-treating because, I mean, we could sit here and talk about, oh, Andrew Luck looks really great this year, and which he does. They've finally started to put pieces around him, like, you know, management that can actually, you know, function. But, you know, Seahawks get rolling. The Chiefs are still going. Their defense is starting to get healthy, so that could be scary. You know, I do want to get your take real quick on this particular thing. I put it on here about John Cena dropping out of a WWE event in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you know all the details on this,
right.
But they got where they
No, I hadn't heard them.
Basically, they did one in Australia a couple weeks ago. They do these, not really pay-per-views, but these special events that you can catch on their WWE network. I would plug it, but subscribe to it anymore myself. It's a good deal. For like $10 a month, you get access to a lot of their stuff, including these. But they go and they put on like a big event at in one of these other countries, and they bring back some of the legends and stars and stuff like that. It's kind of like a pay-per-view without being a pay-per-view. But like I said, they were in Australia a couple weeks ago. They have this one coming up in Saudi Arabia. Well, given some of the political things going on, given the things with the media members and things that it went missing and such over that way, a lot of people put pressure on WWE to pull out of the event. WWE made the statement the other day, no, we're still doing the event. So John Cena, who is one of the top billed kind of returning guys, he hadn't been wrestling much lately. He's been doing movies. John Cena was supposed to be a big part of the event, supposed to be a part of this big tournament they're having. He decided to drop out because he's now got the clout to where he doesn't need the WWE the way the WWE needs him. So I was going to get your take on what you thought of Cena dropping out of an event like that, and I do very much think it's because of the political stuff going on.
Yeah, it's definitely the political landscape that has to do a lot with it, but it's also the business side. I mean, again,
yep.
I've had to reshape some of my – you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to leave that one alone. I think it does have a lot to do with the political landscape and also understanding the nature of business, right, in that he knows his worth to the organization.
Yep.
And so he's obviously internally jockeying or vying for something that he's not gotten, and he's showing where, hey,
yeah,
put up or shut up, right?
Right. Yeah, it's basically what I think he's doing is he's like, all right, well, you guys are okay. You're kind of in a way, whether you're inadvertently doing it or doing it on purpose, you're kind of condoning that you're okay with what happened there, and I'm not, so I'm not going to show up. You know, I just thought about it. In a way, he's pulling his own Kaepernick knee here.
Agreed.
And, I'm not doing it just to bring his name back up, but that's a nod to Kaepernick that there are things that are effective, even if there are ways to get your message across, even if sometimes you don't pick the right venue or method to do it.
Agreed.
But I guess that's going to pretty much do it for us this week. Definitely be careful. Have fun in the D.C. area. I know some people that are from that area and say it's a great time to go see a game. How many more do you have on your list of stadiums?
Cleveland will be 26.
Okay.
So that leaves me Buffalo, Kansas City, Denver, Arizona, Baltimore, and Indianapolis.
Okay. Pretty good list.
Yeah.
But you're definitely knocking out. Like I said, have fun up there. Be careful. I'm not worried about it or not like that, because one, you can take care of yourself, and two, like I said, it's not a hostile environment up there. Should be a great game.
No, it
should be a great game. But
next week will be a little interesting because I'm actually going to be sitting in the dog pound in Cleveland.
That is not only picture worthy there, but if you could maybe just. You don't even have to tape it. You could get the general feel of how the fans up in Cleveland are feeling right now about their team and their organization. I mean, that would be great.
Absolutely. I'll work on it. I will definitely work on it.
But glad that at least you, me, and Cody were able to get together and talk about a lot of this stuff. I know a lot of the fans enjoyed it as well. Hopefully we'll get Coach on next week. Like I said, just because we had to kind of spare the moment, move this back a day, Unfortunately, he couldn't join us, but shout out to Coach and everybody else. We will see all you guys next week. Go Falcons.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Hey, big girl, make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl, make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl, make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Hey, big girl, make a bag, get up. Make a bag, get up. Get up. Girl, wobble it, and I'ma gobble it. I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it. We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girls say, man, like this, double racket shit. Damn, I'm so explicit, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Swag on this like it gotta be gifted. The girls roll cameras, and they won't fix this, and they gon' frame us to see that. Let a little bit while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. One beat, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you, good night kiss you. Take your damn back, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying, Donnie, pick her up, these bitches. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?